Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here. I'm the host of the Common Sense Show, and Doug Thornton is on with us from the American Vindicta Show. And together we are the Doug and Dave Intel Report. And the show seems to be really growing in popularity. I'm getting a lot of really, really good feedback. I just had a call from a doctor up in Oregon, and he said, "Man, what great stuff you guys are doing." And he specifically mentioned this show. So I think it's terrific. We're coming to you live from the Noble Gold Studios. And that means we have something to tell you about. Noble Gold, ladies and gentlemen, can save your nest egg. They can convert your retirement to a Noble Gold IRA or 401k, leave it in the bank. The Dodd-Frank Law 2010 says they can take it. They can also do similar things for your bank account. Now, I've got to give you the disclaimer. There are no guarantees in any kind of investment, anywhere, anytime, and we comply with the law, and we give this disclaimer every single time. Also, past expectation, past events can't be construed to be future expectations. So, but I'll tell you, here's something you need to know. I've been advertising for Noble Gold for 7.5 years. I've been a customer for 6.5 years. Why do I keep going back? Why do I have to keep making adjustments? Because the economy changes. They're the best people to deal with. I want you to give them a call at the conclusion of this interview, 877-646-5347. Let them save your nest egg. Most of you, our audience is middle age and above. You can't start over. 877-646-5347 and do what I did. And listen, I know we're all going to take hits when the economy goes down next year because we can't pay the interest on the debt, but you don't have to lose everything. 877-646-5347. Well, as you know, I went to San Ysidro and I was honored to be a participant among some really, really great presenters. Man, did I get an education. And some of the support people there, wow. The IQ level and it was off the charts. And I came away stunned. I knew a lot of the stuff was going on. I didn't know the volume. And I began telling Doug some of these things yesterday, and Doug's former DHS. I mean, come on, Doug's DHS, right? And so I asked him to come on and talk about some of the things related to the border revelations I was making in terms of volume. But Doug, before we go there, you've got a training coming up. We're really trying to help save people's lives. Can you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, Dave, thanks for having me come on with you. So the training is the end of July. It's the last weekend of July. That's our Shoot, Move, Communicate course. If you've never taken a close quarters style course before, or if you've never dealt with scenarios or with role players where you actually have to tell someone what to do, you know, get on the ground, drop your gun, you got to communicate with people, work in teams, worked in daylight hours and nighttime hours because we do a lot of stuff at night as well. You need to come see our course. This course will only help you become more proficient in what you're doing. It will help you develop better tactics, better skills, better situational awareness, increase your safety, reliability upon yourself. And from there, it's the exposure to an environment the average person's never seen before. And you're just not going to get that on a flat range with a paper target. So if you're interested, you can go to VindictaSolutions.com and you can sign up for one of our courses.
Vindicta Solutions, right?
Yes, sir.
Vindicta, I want to say Solutions. Vindictive. That might even fit. But VindictaSolutions.com, as in the American Vindicta Show, which becoming more popular. And I want to mention this too before Doug and I jump into all this. Doug and I are going to be participants in a conference call following the conclusion of this interview. And we believe, at least I believe strongly, that the internet's going to be taken away from us. Either going to be taken down or taken away from people like us. And you're going to want to have a place to go to where you can get information, stay informed, so you can properly prepare for all the nonsense that's going on. So therefore, when I look at this, ladies and gentlemen, this conference call is going to be about something called Private Line, started by Chris Kitsey. And Chris Kitsey is a giant when it comes to technological prowess, and he's one of us. I frequently have Chris on my show to talk about issues, and he's got the background to talk about it. And we're going to be talking about the introduction to this private line, which is really pretty much independent of the internet. And there's a couple of major players involved. I'm not yet at liberty to disclose who, but you'd be shocked at who all is involved. And Doug and I are going to be on that call, as well as some other people who you would know. I mean, people like Sarah Westall, a good friend of mine, and Scotty Sachs, and a whole range of people. And we are, at least most of us, people I talk to, we're concerned that this internet censorship thing is going to get really dramatic. In fact, the UN is now hiring people to monitor the internet. And we know that Obama gave them the DNS codes back when he was president. Now, I don't know the status of that today, but the UN is planning to take action against, quote, misinformation anywhere, anything they don't want people to know is what it comes down to. So we'll be telling you all about that at a future date. So you'll know where to find us when they take us down. And also you can be a participant with your own system as well. And initially there's really great price breaks. It's called free. And then after that, I don't know all the marketing yet. I think they're still deciding that, but I can tell you, it's going to be dirt cheap. It ain't going to be what you're paying now. And so really happy to be bringing that information at a future date. Doug and I may do an update on a show to talk about what we've learned when I get permission to disclose who some of the players are. So anyway, Doug, when I was at San Ysidro, let me tell you what shocked me. I live in a state where last year the leading cause of death was fentanyl. Okay, so I know fentanyl crosses the border. Although you'll get a kick out of this. There's a ballot initiative that's on the ballot that the people signed enough to get it on the ballot. And they're saying they want law enforcement to be able to arrest illegal aliens coming into the state without any preemptive or precursor crime. They just want to be able to arrest them because they're illegal aliens. And no, this is not prejudice against Mexican people, because 71% of the people crossing the border are other than Mexicans. Border Patrol refers to them as OTMs, 71% people. So it's not a prejudicial situation. And this is on the ballot. Now, this is how hard the governor does not want to have our border laws enforced. Governor Hobbs is backing an effort with their attorneys to take this into the Arizona State Supreme Court. And they've said you can only have one issue on a ballot initiative. And that's true. Listen to this nonsense. Because fentanyl death is mentioned, they're saying that's separate from illegal immigration. Fentanyl immigration. Are you kidding me? And they're trying to get it knocked off the ballot based on the single issue declarative. And the bill already passed the Arizona House and Senate. And our wonderful Governor Hobbs, the transgender queen who supports nothing but transgender, she has workers in her family that work in this industry. She vetoed this bill that would have allowed law enforcement to protect us. So anyway, this led me to my first question with Doug. Doug, when I was in San Ysidro, and as I told you yesterday, I watched people using their shoulder to open up doors, people taking paper towels to turn on water faucets, having a protective thing on their hand, whether it be a cloth or a glove, to open up doors. And I saw this a lot. It wasn't universal, could have been some tourists. And I asked a policeman about this, San Ysidro Police Department. And I said, I'm kind of wondering if this is not worried about fentanyl contamination. And he said, yes. Doug, you had a lot more to say on it than it just being fear of contracting loose fentanyl lying around that would enter the body through the skin. You want to pick that up?
Well, I mean, fentanyl within itself is horrifically deadly and dangerous.
Yeah.
It's a very, very sad state that America is completely afflicted by fentanyl. Many cops come across people with fentanyl and they get overdosed from just barely touching the substance. So yeah, that's a big problem. The other problem, honestly, comes from a few things. It's a variety. First off, you have the local vagrants, the transients, whatever. You go to different states, they call them different things, homeless people. They are typically hygienically not well. A lot of them have some sort of bloodborne pathogen, sexual disease. They have skin lesions. A lot of them are on drugs. In fact, depending on the area that you go to, the better half of 90% or more are severe drug addicts using heroin, methamphetamines, crack cocaine. They're using fentanyl, others. And so, you know, and those types of people will, they vacant many places like restrooms, any type of fast food place where they can just walk right into. They don't have to deal with anybody, and they can go more or less take a toilet shower over there and in the restroom. And I mean, it's serious, you know, and it's nasty. It's horrific to see people living like that. But you know, you have to be aware and cautious that there are things like that going around, and people carry diseases just like animals do. And so you have fentanyl, you have the transient population, and then you also have the illegal migratory population who's carrying the same amount of diseases, and then new diseases. Some of the diseases that we've come across, especially at least in the El Paso sector, where we, my agency got assisted the Border Patrol agency during various different operations. We experienced tuberculosis, polio, vaccine resistant polio, MRSA, SARS, COVID. What was the others? The Black Plague, the weird fungal skin eating disease. Oh. That was absolutely terrifying.
Streptococcus, is that what you're talking about?
No. Whatever this was scared everybody, to include CDC, and it killed anyone that was in our custody within a matter of 24 hours or less. We have no idea what it is, but it came from Colombia.
Was it flesh-eating virus?
It was flesh-eating that got that ate straight down to the bone, and then into the bone, and into the bone marrow, and you were dead.
Flesh-eating virus didn't used to be quick-acting. Do you think it's maybe the product of a biolab? Gain of function?
I have no idea. No idea. No. All I can tell you is that they burned everything inside those isolation chambers that the patients were in. It was very, very, very scary. Me and the hospital director talked about it. It was very
scary. I'll tell you what I saw when I was there. I saw enough not to want to go back there.
Yeah. You know, you weren't too far from Otay Mesa, the San Ysidro border sector. And then you have the Otay Mesa border sector. And then you have Calexico. That's the three main areas that I'm familiar with right there. Calexico is way out there. But Otay Mesa and then San Ysidro, there's a lot of traffic. Tijuana's right there. There's a lot of traffic. And some of the biggest tunnels ever found were right there in that area. I think one of them stretched 600 to 700 meters long, had its own ventilation shaft, had its own high voltage electricity. It was completely reinforced like you would see a normal mine. They have some that have rail carts in them, some that are big enough to drive a vehicle to the size of an 18-wheeler into. So, I mean, the tunnel thing is, tunnels are a big problem. And the government don't like to talk about that much because there's not much we can do about it. I remember for a while they talked about having like this tunnel finding technology, this like holy grail search for some sort of technology that could find tunnels. I remember Trump talking about that.
No. Let me tell you what I know about it. This is something I do know about, Doug. Nick Begich published the patents for this in his book, Angels Don't Play That Harp, HARP, and it was about the harp system that initiated in Gakona, Alaska. And they have earth-penetrating tomography, according to the patents. They can see 2 miles beneath the surface of the earth. They could find these tunnels if they wanted to. In fact, they probably already know where they are.
That's not going to be used for us.
No, it's not going to be used to protect America. But let me tell you, the technology exists to find these tunnels if we wanted to.
Well, we know that we've had access with this technology before. Timothy Alberino has used this same technology. Timothy Alberino and Gary Haven own this technology where they can do ground penetrating radar and get back very conclusive signatures.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, all you do is you just run it on top of the ground. Now those are like, I think $125,000 a piece, and there's not very many of them, but I mean, we're talking about the government. We spent what, $4 million to see how fast a shrimp could run on a treadmill underwater. I think we could, you know, probably buy a few of those. But look, what the problem is, and this is what we said about the wall, is the wall don't work. The wall don't work for various different reasons. For one thing, they cut their way through the wall, or they'll cut the wall completely down. They've drove cars through it. They've squeezed themselves through it. They've thrown ladders over it. We've watched them throw ladders over it and then fall and break their legs and arms. And then we got to bring them to the emergency room. They will free climb it, climb right over it. They never filled the pylons with concrete like they were supposed to with the original working models for the prototypes. Because I was there for the, if anyone remembers that time in like 2016, 17, when they had the prototypes being built on the Otay Mesa border. And one of them, or two of them, was made out of solid concrete, reinforced by steel. One of them was poured concrete. And then the others were slatted. And they were, from what I recalled, was supposed to be filled with concrete to avoid the ability to just cut right through it. But they never did it.
Okay.
So, you know, that's a problem. But they'll cut through the wall. The drug smugglers, the human traffickers, they cut right through it. And when they don't do that, they tunnel. Now, Border Patrol said it before, for every tunnel that we find, they've probably built another one. I think there was 40 different tunnels that have been found that went under Trump's wall. So, I mean, this is constant. This is active. From 2007 to 2010, Border Patrol found a tunnel every month. So there is a unknown amount of tunnel, but the tunnel technology that the cartel is using is simple. It's practical. They kidnap people, especially miners, and they'll force them to work the silver mines in the Sinaloa Mountains. And when they're done from there, they bring them, and they have those miners dig the tunnels, set up everything, and most of the time they kill them. And if they don't dig, then they kill the families or torture the families, and they will do it, and they have done it. And so the real problem is the cartel. Unless you're going to dig 100 feet down, a wall's just not going to work. Now, some of the walls that we originally had seen were supposed to go like 50 feet down, 25 to 50 feet down, and then like 25 to 50
feet
up.
You could still get around that. I understand the cartels and their tunneling. They have the same kind of boring technology, B-O-R-I-N-G, meaning you bore through the earth. They have the same technology that we use in our underground structures. Now, I don't know about the most modern. They don't have nuclear, but they have what they need, like to build a DIA with all the tunnels they have there at Denver International Airport. The one thing, too, I wanted to mention, though, we could still find those tunnels if our government employed the technology at the discretion. And I do agree, the wall is superfluous, but I was told this by a really high-level military source that I've told you about. He told me the wall would do no more than slow down a light infantry attack across our border. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, as long as they didn't use the tunnels.
There you go. Exactly.
And see, you know, the thing about these tunnels, Dave, is they have anonymity to them. In Mexico, they will find warehouses or open desolate areas, and they'll build a structure. And then inside that structure, they'll house everything needed to build the tunnel. And so they'll remove all the dirt from inside the structure. They'll do all the working day and night inside that structure. And what they'll do is they always have a familiar here on the U.S. side for where they pinpoint where they're going to come out of. And a lot of times it's in homes, it's in valley areas, it's in warehouses here in America. And they will tunnel all the way through it. El Paso has a lot of tunnels underneath it. I've spoken to the tunnel teams there. And so, like, you're not going to stop it. You're just not going to stop it. Unless we go to Mexico, you're not going to stop it.
Doug, you've never used that term before when we've talked about the border. Tunnel teams. Tell me about them.
That's nothing too special. These are just teams who, they have special equipment for breathing apparatus, case of fresh air or anything like that. And they're designed. Their team is a small unit team that's designed to be operating in a very, very small structure Very tight, close, confined areas. So kind of a different type of training, but it's just going and searching inside a tunnel. And so you got you have to have designated guys, very proficient, seasoned guys ready for that type of job. And then, you know, because here's the thing, they booby trap tunnels. You find narcotics in tunnels. You find bodies in tunnels, tunnels leading to other tunnels. Their tunnels could hit a natural gas pipe and it could be leaking into it, killed everybody. You don't know it till you walked into it. If you didn't have on your breathing apparatus, now you're dead. So it's very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous.
It sounds like the Vietnam era tunnel rats.
Well, tunnels are not unusual to war. Tunnels are not unusual. Tunnels, obviously, look at Gaza. That's probably some of the most well-known. The tunnels in Gaza into Israel. They had tunnels in Russia. They had tunnels in Germany. Was notorious for tunnels. There's plenty of tunnels here in America. Just most people don't know about them. So tunnels are used all over the world.
Have you and Mondo Gonzalez ever looked at tunnels?
No, we haven't been invited to them. The tunnels we go to are earthen made.
Okay. So I just wondered from the mound builders or something like that. I wondered if there was an offshoot of that. But anyway, back to the border situation. I'll tell this story with a preparatory statement. Ted Cruz and John Cornyn, and I've talked about this on my social media. I saw a video where they went and they accompanied Border Patrol and they encountered drug dealers, let them go. They encountered child traffickers, 50-year-old men with little kids that were clearly drugged up. And Ted Cruz said he was screaming at the Border Patrol, "Are you not going to do anything for these kids? We're not allowed to. We're under orders not to interdict." So I talked to one of the policemen that accompanied us to the border, and I asked him, I said, "So when you have these people that cross illegally and you know they're bad, they got bad stuff on them, what do you do?" He goes, "We have to receive permission to interdict." Is this common practice at the border? These two stories that you just told?
No, we never received permission. We got notified that we had runners, that we had a OTM running, and so you know, run out and go and grab them, but. This is a new level of stupidity here. You know, since Biden's been president, and this number is not correct, but the CBP says that we've had 1.6 million encounters on the Southwest border for just 2022. And during that time, 836,000 were released. So out of a million encounters, you released, what, 80% of them? 85% of them? What's the point in the encounter then if you're just going to release them? So, you know, the stuff that happens on the border is horrific. The average person has no idea how dangerous the border is. And I don't suggest going and visiting because of how dangerous it is.
No, it's not. Just the contamination of disease that Doug mentioned and what I witnessed. But let me tell you something else that happened. When we went to the border for the Take Our Border Back, and you can go to takeourborderback.com, for that group, when we went to the border, it had been planned for a long time that we would exchange greetings with Mexicans on the other side who also wanted a secure border. They were tired of the cartels and so forth and so on. And then the communication for about a week went totally dark. And I was talking to some of our planners for the event. They said, "We don't know what's going to happen." And then the afternoon of our presentations, right before we're going to the border, our director gets a call from a pastor in Mexico saying, "Okay, we've got some people that'll go." They were scared to death. And I started thinking, why would they be scared to death? Because we're really exposing cartel activities directly and indirectly at the border. It's a scary time for the Mexican people. One of the things, too, I was told by this policeman that I talked to, he said, everyone talks about the Sinaloas and the CJNGs. He said they don't have anything on the brutality of the Tijuana cartels. Do you have any experience with them?
The cartels are very brutal. In my personal opinion, they should all be hunted down and they should all be destroyed. And we should not worry about the Middle East. We should worry about Mexico.
Should we send military into Mexico?
I think that.
I do too.
I think that very strongly. In fact, that's the only thing I'll ever agree with Lindsey Graham on. The fact that we have a narco-terror state, a destabilized, infected narco-terror state that is the drug smuggling capital of the world, that is the human trafficking smuggling capital of the world, and it is our southerly neighbor, but yet we want to go and worry about Ukraine and Israel and Africa and the Middle East and what's going on in Russia. We want to meddle our nose everywhere, but we want to ignore the hot coals that we're literally standing on that's catching our feet on fire. For every two illegal immigrants that we get in this country, one becomes a citizen, the other one doesn't. There's at least 45 million or more illegal immigrants in this country. Not legal immigrants, illegal immigrants in this country. They tap our systems. Many people who are foreign born are increasing our debt, because as soon as they come over here, they're immediately given Social Security. They are given your benefits. My benefits at the VA gets to pay for a lot of their doctor's visits now. They're getting free houses. So, you know, the whole free house thing, or the amount of loans that's given to them for houses, that's destroying the housing market. People just don't talk about that. The job market is destroyed because there's a lot of places that they just give it to the illegals. They'll do it for dirt cheap. We are completely annihilating our way of life as a culture.
That's true.
And yet, Dave, we have the means and the capability and the scope, because it's within our territory, to take care of this problem, but we don't. And it's the politicians who don't. Not that the military won't, not that law enforcement can't, but it's the politicians who'll say, oh no, we won't. So in my mind, where's the first place we need to check to clean up the border? It's Washington, D.C.
I'm torn between how I'm going to respond to what you just said, but I do agree it's Washington, D.C. Let me tell you the reason with my Border Patrol contacts why they think the military will never interdict. The drug cartels on the other side of the border put their drug manufacturing plants in residential areas. It kind of reminds me of Gaza, where you had terrorists hanging out in the schools and so forth, and increased the civilian casualties. Not that Netanyahu cared, but nonetheless, if we did surgical strikes on these facilities, the casualty rates would be high, and the propaganda blowing back our way as being child killers would be off the charts.
The surgical strike does not have to be via missile. We have very, very well-trained guys, and we have the means and technology to hone in and to locate and to find you while you're traveling, if you're at home with your family or not, and we can come and pay you a visit. We do it all the time in Afghanistan and Iraq and Syria and whatnot, but we can't do it in Mexico.
So you're referring to Soleimani is how we track people down?
There is all kinds of means and methods and availabilities to us. Nothing is off limits to us when we need to come and get somebody. That's the way America runs itself. And Mexico, it would be who of them to completely comply with America, because you're our most southern neighbor. We have commerce with you first. And if it wasn't for the fact for America keeping the border open, there would be no Mexico. Mexico would be a hellscape, which it kind of is already. And the Mexican people are completely oppressed. So we're walking around delivering freedom to people all around the world, but we're ignoring our neighbors. And I don't like that. And once again, I go back into, well, somebody in Mexico and somebody in a higher political office somewhere must be talking to each other and making a money exchange for us not to come down there and pay you a visit. I think Mexico is very owed. Because of Mexico alone, millions, maybe tens of millions of people have died due to drug overdoses, due to cartel activity.
Yeah. It's Mexico is the most dangerous nation in the world just for journalists. And then, of course, politicians, too. There's a concept out there. And I had this discussion, and then coincidentally, I saw it the day after. Well, I was talking to someone in San Ysidro about safe third country concept. And then I saw something come across my internet, and it was an interview. It was Ted Cruz grilling Mayorkas about something he was calling the safe third country. In other words, it's our policy that, you know, 71% of people across our border are not from Mexico. So if they end up in Mexico, Mexico's considered to be a safe country by our definition. They should have to stay there and not be allowed in the United States. Mayorkas claimed that that wasn't his understanding of the law. What's your understanding of the law?
Well, I mean, the whatever nation you go to that you can find refuge, you're supposed to stay there.
Yes.
But who follows the law anymore? Not our lawmakers. Not our politicians, not the leaders of our countries. So the criminals won't do it either, and neither will the illegal immigrants. I mean, this is a multi-billion dollar money enterprise. People will be bribed, or people will be assassinated, or told to look the other way, or threatened to do so if they won't take the money. And then from there, the flow continues. And don't forget, this is a lot of this is smoke and mirrors that's going on the political scale, because the amount of human organ harvesting, child sex trafficking, human trafficking for slavery, human trafficking for sex parties and whatnot, the adrenochrome smuggling back and forth, and the sick stuff. The real if what I just said was not sick, the sick stuff. Like the Epstein Islands, how do you think they get those girls?
Yeah.
So, and that's one of the things that Ukraine was most notorious for. FYI, it is well known that many of the women that Hude and Kuse, Saddam Hussein's kids, that Hude and Kuse tortured, raped, and even cannibalized came from Ukraine, came from Eastern Europe. Through those types of human smuggling operations. And yet, who does anything about it? There's very few governmental-wise will do anything about it. And so that's why there's a lot of civilians who do stuff about it now, but you don't have the scope that the authorities do, so you can't use the same means and methods. But no, the whole policy's trash, because the whole idea of it is trash.
Yeah, sure.
And it's just to try and I think it's just to try and pacify us. Oh, look at we're trying. We wrote a law. Everyone will follow it. Yeah, sure.
Now, I hear exactly what you're saying, and I hear a lot of the same stuff from frustrated people that want to do something about it. Trump says when he's president, he's going to start mass deportations. I've inquired into that, into people who I thought would have some basis of knowledge in this area. And the consensus that I took away from my discussions was that they would first ask for volunteers and they will move them into passage to a country that is relatively safe from persecution. So they'll take the volunteers. They're not going to get a lot that way. But what then later they said, then they would start the neighborhood roundups. When you were in DHS, did you guys ever have any discussions like this?
So I was not a part of ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, but I knew a lot of those guys who were EROs. And, you know, the thing about that is, can you go and find people? Can you go and extradite them to other countries? Yes. But the amount of money that takes on the American tax dollar to send one freaking guy back to Africa is what? a lot of money, thousands of dollars for that flight. So, you know, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll go, they'll capture these illegals, and then they put them in federal detention centers, holding centers. And then we sit there and we babysit them, and we coddle them, and we feed them. And then when the litigation's all done with and someone has signed the approving documents, then we deport them. And that's if they haven't been let out again already. And this happens. Mm-hmm. It happens all the time. If you come from Mexico and you're caught, you get put, I've been there, done this. You get, we bring you underneath the overpass, especially out there at the El Paso sector, bring them underneath the overpass, count everybody out, and then put them back on a Greyhound bus and send them right back to Mexico. See you in a few days, because it's just a round robin. And, you know, that's happening every single day. But if you come from all these other various countries, well, we don't have that means to just put you on a bus and send you back. We got to bring you back to your nation of origin. So that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for the American taxpayer.
I don't think you should have to send them back to the country of origin, especially if they came in through Mexico. Dump them in Mexico because it's their responsibility.
Well, look, I don't mean to be cruel here, but for those people in America who don't want to be in America because Donald Trump may be the president again, or because it's not the socialist utopia you want, I have an amazing place to bring those people, and also bring many of the immigrants that are coming over here. And it would be a good way, I guess you could say, of deterrence. And we'll drop you off in Afghanistan. We already have agreements with the Taliban. The Biden administration gives them $40 million a week. So we'll give them an extra $20 million a week, I'm sure. And now you can take care of all of our immigrants and other people. And there you go. Bring them to Afghanistan.
Madonna, Lady Gaga. Hey, there's your new home. Kabul.
Yeah. I don't know how to solve the problem. There is no real answer. Human trafficking has been a problem since biblical times.
Yeah.
And it will continue to be a problem. You know, even if you have nations making agreements with each other, it's up to that nation to enforce it. And then it's up to that, you know, nation to not be corrupt socialist dictator theocracies, and to have corrupt politicians, corrupt police, corrupt military, yada, yada, yada. The same problem never ends. Corruption. Corruption in America. Corruption every single country throughout the world. And that's why we're all seeing the exact same problem. And there is no fix to corruption except Christ.
Here's something else that surfaced in my conversations with people that were knowledgeable, more so than I. This has been going on for a long time, but it's increasing in intensity and frequency. A young adult male, young adult female, child walking home from school, going to the park by themselves, whatever it is, they're being abducted, typically in vans, and they disappear forever. In fact, we got a 16-year-old kid in our rural community that's been missing for a week, and he was simply going to the store. Now, with the increasing frequency of this, I'm wondering, you were in DHS up until, what, about a year and a half ago? Doug, did you guys discuss this about the kidnapping, like we hear about in Ukraine, of Americans off the streets for trafficking purposes, but it's increasing in volume?
I mean, when you did, it was not so common. You know, of course, intelligence reports would come out. You know, you would get different types of security alerts from local state authorities, other assisting agencies, where we all have like these mutual agreements where we work together. But it's a sporadic thing. If it was an abduction, it was a kidnapping. Most time it led to death. But for it to be growing in occurrence, and knowing what we know now about the human trafficking operations and about the drug smuggling operations, about the organ harvesting, it's not so much as like, you know, stuff from like the Caribbean islands or in Mexico, where you have just the long güero goes down there and, you know, gets held hostage for $10,000 and then released. They don't worry about that. They don't hold people hostage anymore because, I mean, there's $70,000 or more sitting inside your torso. So,
it's amazing. So the abductions, I was told most of it they believe is done for sex trafficking of young adults and children.
Well, they do that. They abuse them until the point that they would be deemed unusable.
Unusable, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then from there, they murder them, typically in a satanic ritual fashion. Drain the blood of adrenochrome and then harvest the organs.
The people I've talked to, I think, are in a position to know, and I want to fact check this with you. I've asked about the estimated frequency of how many people this affects. And they said, I've heard this to a person. We have really no way of knowing. But when you're going into a restroom at Walmart and you see the whole wall of missing kids, they said you can bet most of those kids were victim of this kind of crime. Do you have any idea of the numbers before you left DHS? Did you hear anything about estimated frequencies?
No, but I do agree with that. And even so, the amount of people whose names are on those walls at Walmart, that's not even an accurate reflection of the area.
Mm-hmm.
That's if they were put up there.
It's phenomenal.
The people who disappear the most, actually, are homeless people. They disappear the most.
Especially out of Los Angeles. I wrote an article about that 7 or 8 years ago about Los Angeles homeless. There was a conspiracy theory at the time that said, oh, they're putting them into beta test FEMA camp detentions, blah, blah, blah. And that didn't sound right to me. What made more sense is they were being trafficked or abducted and killed for their organs. And what I'm hearing too, when they do the organ, when they manifest the treatment, put it this way, they kidnap someone, they use them up sexually till they're no longer usable, like you said. I've been told that they're beheading a lot of these people because if you do lethal injection or some other form of death, it can damage the organs, and they want undamaged organs, so they behead people. Do you know anything about that?
There is no grace to this. I mean, the people who are performing the medical procedures are twisted doctors, people with EMT experience, and then people who just, they gain the experience of knowing what the human anatomy is and how to extract organs. And it's as fast as possible. They're not draining people of blood. So it's as fast as possible. They're most likely not kidnapping homeless people for blood. They're most likely not kidnapping homeless people for organs, because once again, you have the disease factor. I think actually it's more nefarious than that, but the practical procedures, we know that in Ukraine there was a woman who came from Poland, and she was extracting the organs off of Russian soldiers that were killed or were wounded and captured. And there was an entire warehouse filled with what was told, I think, at least 100 to 200 bodies that were all empty of the cavity of organs, and they were all wounded, which means they were killed and then organs taken. Or like in China, they just tie you down and they put a bit in your mouth and then they just start pulling it right out, because that's the freshest the organ can get. And then from there, it's immediately put on ice and it's shipped out. Like, you, the way this goes is like, I bought a heart. Well, now I, went on the black market, bought a heart. Now it's up for the supplier to go and grab it and then send it to me. Right. So, the organs are typically fresh, very fresh. Ukraine is probably the worst.
Yeah, I've heard that.
By what we know, Ukraine is probably the worst in the world. If not China, then it's Ukraine at organ harvesting.
Do we know anything about your typical benefactor of this organ theft and who ends up with the organs? Because the volume seems to be really high. So I'm wondering who's benefiting from this.
I mean, you would be surprised. Hospitals. hospitals. You'll have people come up. I've read stories in other countries where you'll have an organ harvester will say, hey, I got a kidney, a liver. I've got a this. I've got, you know, whatever, a stomach or whatever it is that people need. And the hospitals are actually buying it from them and keeping it there. So I've heard of those stories. I'm not sure if this happened in America, but I've heard of at least one story in Mexico like that. But the benefactors typically are people who go on to, you know, the dark web. And, you know, the dark web is nothing to play around with. Do not ever, ever, never get on that.
Why?
But for those tell people who why. Do,
I've been told that too, but I want to hear your reason why you should never go on the dark web.
Well, depending on what you do, everything you do will be tracked and come back to you.
Yeah.
So, and not just tracked by the government. There's plenty of hackers on there as well. But I'm not a hacker. I was never real big into the technological side of the world. I was just a gun toter. I'm sure people will leave comments who've had that background experience. They can tell you why not to go there. But, you know, the average benefactor, once again, that is very rich people, because these are not cheap things that you're buying. You know, this is not a used car. This is not a used dishwasher. This is someone has to die to provide this.
Sure.
It's not like the organ donor that's on your card for your driver's license, for one thing. I would have that removed.
Exactly.
Tomorrow, because it could be abused. I would have that removed.
I mean, if you're an organ donor, I listen, the way COVID was handled, if you're an organ donor, you need to look at your hospital with suspicion, because if you're listed as one and they know it, why should they save your life?
I've heard too many stories of people not being saved.
Exactly.
Not being saved just to harvest the organs. And you never know the backrooms deals that are going on between hospitals and wealthy financiers and whatnot. So we know it's all for nefarious means. But yeah, the means and availability of organ harvesting, it's there. It's in America. It's happening right now. Most likely while you and I are talking right now, there are people being kidnapped, and with a matter of moments are being held down and their organs are being ripped right out of them. And then the body gets incinerated or dumped in a swamp somewhere for the critters to take care of. And then, you know, they made probably close to $100,000 off of that body. I mean, that's a, just imagine what if, if you don't think the depravity of man could get any lower, go to Mexico, go to Ukraine. It'll surprise you. That's the way they think. I have literally heard those people say, you know how much money we can make off of a body?
Well, not only are the cartels going occultic and satanic, I understand they're into cannibalism now too.
Yes, yeah, some are.
Yeah, that's the story coming out.
Well, look at Haiti. Haiti right now is ruled by a cannibal. So Haiti's another one of those places. Haiti, the Dominican Republic, human trafficking, organ harvesting, all happens right there. All these big tourism places where Americans just love to go and visit. And man, you know, so-and-so never came back. Guess he just ran off, loved the area so much. Most likely that's not what happens.
No, so. It was really disconcerting for me when I was at this rally to have people that I think really know what they're talking about tell me how they instruct their kids how to get home from school, you know, what to do, what not to do when they're going to the mall, how they should travel, how they should resist if they're confronted. It's scary. This isn't America, folks. This isn't Ukraine any longer. And these aren't isolated cases. And Doug, I'm telling you, I talked to Samantha Starkey about 3 weeks ago when I interviewed her. They still haven't accounted for 600 missing kids in Lahaina. But I know where they went. I know where they went. And, no question.
And CPS has lost hundreds of thousands of kids in their custody. Where do you think most of those go?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I really became alerted to that. I covered this about 12 years ago in Oklahoma. There were 80 some odd kids that ended up missing in 1 week. And I wrote to these people. I called them. I asked them for statements. Where are they? We don't know. Well, they didn't show up for breakfast. And a lot of them disappeared out of institutions. And I'm thinking, how do you not know if you're the custodial agent? How do you not know what happened? And you're right. CPS is a conduit for child trafficking.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Our prisoners have a safer, healthier lifestyle than the kids in CPS.
Yeah, I agree with that.
One of the things that happens right now with CPS, and it's growing in frequency, is the amount of LGBT, QRS, pedophilia, whatever,
yes,
that are gaining access to be sponsored parents for these kids that are, whatever, you have a domestic violent, episode between you and your wife, and CPS comes, takes your kid. Well, that kid was being raised Christian. Mom and dad are okay now, and everything's worked out, and they can't get their kid back, but yet their kid is stuck with two reprobates in that lifestyle. And every reprobate that's out there that I've ever met, especially with the lesbians and whatnot, they're all very radical left, very anti-God. And now they're rewiring that child. Oh, and by the way, go ahead and do your own little investigation. It's worth a Google. Go and see how many of these same foster parents have killed those children, have mutilated those children, have sexually harmed those children, sold them into prostitution, raped them to death. I mean, it goes on and on and on. And I cannot believe for the life of me that CPS is even an organization. Like, Dave, if I were to run for president, one of the first heads of the Hydra that I would be cutting off would be CPS. I mean, and let the investigation of a lifetime happen on CPS. You'll find many of our problems lie there. And not only that, you'll find many of the spider webs leading to spiders coming from the CPS.
Yeah.
But this is once again, this is the corruption of the political system here in America. And we have the best political system in the world, and we're this jacked up. And yet people want to flee to other countries. Like, you don't understand. America is super jacked up and is the best country in the world. You go to some of these smaller countries where it's notoriously jacked up, you're just as liable to become a victim within the first couple of months as finding refuge. And it's not going to get any better. Trump won't make it any better. Biden will continue to make it worse. We talked about this at the gym last night, me and a bunch of the guys. I guarantee you two things. If Trump becomes president, we're probably going to war. How can I say guarantee and probably? I'll replace guarantee. I think if Trump becomes president, we will go to war. And I believe that if Biden stays president, we will go to war. There's your future.
Why do you think Trump is going to war? Because he's running on the platform first time around. I kept us out of war, new wars.
I have 1,000 different reasons why.
We got about 90 seconds.
Terror attacks are coming back. They will come back. If Donald Trump becomes president, that's when they'll hit the 9/11.
Okay.
Because it'll be all about making one group of people out to be either foolish or to stir those people up for civil strife.
Yeah.
If the New World Order is to be formed, America has to be taken down. Our people, our way of life, our way of thinking, our ability to come and smash a dictator has to be taken away. We are the hammer of the whole earth. We have to be brought down low. And you're not going to do that by taking our guns. You're going to do that by destroying the system and then letting the system collapse.
Much is happening right now. It's a typical Maoist cultural revolution. One of the things I want to talk to you about in a future show is talk about the progression of the takedown of this country in terms of catastrophic events. This happens before this, it'll happen before that. I want to get your take on some of those, because I'm seeing now that come election time, folks, this ain't going to be any kind of country that you recognize. Not without divine intervention and the way we're behaving, God's not going to bless this country. Doug, I'll see you in a few minutes over on the call, and appreciate you coming on and giving your insight here. And you really kind of helped me understand some of the things we heard. And people know the border's bad. I just don't think they know the degree that it's bad. And hopefully this helped your understanding. People, there was a Border Patrol agent that just retired speaking at that rally I was at. And he said, child sex trafficking is the core principle of the New World Order. And I have to say, I think he has a good point. Doug, I'll see you back here next time. See you over on the conference in a few minutes.
See you, buddy.